calling me Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Is there no sweeter sound than that of your own name buried in cheers and applause? I think not. Have you noticed Thanksgiving is getting squeezed, marginalized? The entire fall into winter holiday season once had a very clear trajectory. Halloween was the springboard to what at one time was at least as big a deal or bigger, Thanksgiving, which was the doorway to the biggest one of all, Christmas. And then, as a way to break the emotional fall, or perhaps steepen it depending on how you feel, New Year's. Thanksgiving is now almost an afterthought, a throwaway. Is it some Marxist plot to undermine the pillar of American culture? Probably not. It's just that consumerism has such a fucking stranglehold on our way of life that only holidays with a massive revenue upside to retailers get any attention from the media. And that's a damn shame. There are more people living in America than ever before who have absolutely no idea what Thanksgiving is. Native-born Americans as well. And that's a shame, too. Thanksgiving is a critical part of our history. That first one was pretty intense, and it wasn't just a big dinner, it was a 3-day festival. Although with those uptight Puritans, how much of a party could it have been? But still, they went on hunts and held games, and the Indians gave them 5 deer. So venison was on the menu, and not turkey, nor was pumpkin pie. So how do we save Thanksgiving? Do we even want to save Thanksgiving? Let's be honest. I dig Thanksgiving, but still, it is the prelude to dashed dreams and lowered expectations that the holiday season always brings, right? We've got this stylized, art-directed standard of Thanksgiving that only a major movie studio with all its props and staging and scripting could possibly achieve. Thanksgiving is supposed to look like Norman Rockwell or Currier and Ives. And their depictions of it are always frozen in other centuries and rural settings. Sepia-toned autumnal bliss. Smoke curling up from the chimneys of snug cottages at the edge of a woods blazing with turning leaves. Tables set with feasts so lush, Martha Stewart herself would throw up her hands in defeat. But 80% of us live in cities. Think about that, 80%. Where the hell are we going to get woods and horse-drawn buckboards and haystacks and cornfields? And, well, it's just impossible, isn't it, to emulate or even in a small way recreate a Thanksgiving experience that we see in advertisements and American lore. And say we forget the exterior and just try to construct an interior Thanksgiving experience. You can do the table and the silverware and the dishes and the turkey and cranberry and yams, etc., etc., but the most important must-have ingredient is the family, and preferably some extended family gathered around that feast where everyone is attractive and smart and, most importantly, gets along as blood relatives are supposed to. But is that ever the case? We want warm and fuzzy, but sometimes we get cold and combative. Old grievances percolate to the surface, fueled by booze and words and memories. A story in the Miami Herald says that politics are literally ruining Thanksgiving. That's not hard to believe, is it? Like never before, and yes, I'm including the Civil War years in this statement. We are a nation divided. Because during the Civil War, there were really only a couple of core issues that were fought over. But today, it's a cornucopia of differences, to keep it seasonally germane, isn't it? Now, how could a newspaper possibly know what thousands or millions of people are arguing about over turkey and stuffing, Well, as usual, our cell phones are the pocket traitors. They rat out cheating spouses. They rat out murderers to the cops. And now they're squealing on us in our most private moments while we stuff our faces with friends and family. And it works like this. The data came from a service called SafeGraph, which collected over 17 trillion, with a T, location markers from 10 million smartphones in November 2016. This data identified individuals' home locations between the hours of 1 and 4 a.m., when most of us are sleeping. Then they looked at where these people were located between the hours of 1 and 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. Then they cross-tabbed this info with the political leanings of their home locations and somehow figured that people are spending about 1/2 hour less time at Thanksgiving dinners because of political differences. Buttressing the research are surveys that say a majority of us plan to avoid discussing politics during dinner. I wonder how those little table tableaus play out.
Hey, Frank, can you pass the mashed potatoes?
I could, but before I do, who'd you vote for last November?
I wasn't your lame-ass candidate, that's for sure.
Oh, really? Is that so?
Yeah, that's so. Now pass the potatoes.
Sure. Here you go. Eat up, douchebag.
I drove 120 miles for this? Fuck you, asshole.
No, fuck you and fuck your candidate.
How bad can Thanksgiving get? Pretty goddamn bad. Last year, some clown expressed his gratitude for a nice meal by stabbing both his hosts, which happened to be Mom and Dad. It happened in Port Orange, Florida. Ever notice how most weird shit happens in California, and then the overage happens in Florida? Maybe it's the sunshine and warm weather. It grows insanity. During a Thanksgiving dinner, 34-year-old Edwin Daugherty became irate with his 72-year-old mom. Wonder what triggered his rage. Was it turkey a little dry? Some guys are really picky about stuffing. Should it be where it's supposed to be, inside the bird, which is why they call it stuffing, or alongside the turkey on the plate, which is incorrect? The news report says that the argument turned physical when, quote, Edwin Daugherty placed his mother in a headlock and then placed his 76-year-old father, Thomas Daugherty, in a headlock when he tried to intervene, unquote.
Eddie, I'm sorry, the turkey's a little dry. How about I make you a nice sandwich?
I don't want no goddamn sandwich, Mom.
Eddie, no.
Son, Eddie, no. Your mother, you're choking your mother there. Shut up, Pop.
The sheriff's office said that Edwin Daugherty then grabbed a steak knife with a 4-inch blade after pushing his father to the ground and stabbed him multiple times in the chest. Happy fucking Thanksgiving. The sheriff's office added that when Patsy Daugherty tried to help her husband, Edwin stabbed her too. The story goes on to say that Jim Marsh, the neighbor from across the street, said the son, quote,
wasn't all there, but he always seemed like a nice boy. A little disturbed.
A little disturbed? Nice boy? He's 34 fucking years old. His jailhouse bunkmate has probably made him a man by now. So Thanksgiving can be goddamn dangerous. You can't talk politics. You can't bitch about the food. If you have a near-middle-aged single son, invite him at your own risk. Maybe we should all just stay home on Thanksgiving, save a ton of gas, save hassles, and perhaps save your life. After a while, like anything else, Thanksgivings tend to get blurry. You think back and go, let's see now, is that the one we spent with Aunt Patsy and Uncle Thomas, or posting bail for Cousin Eddie? A few stick out in my mind, the oddballs, I suppose. One was when I was long, long away from any kin, and a kindly co-worker invited me to her annual Rolling Stone Thanksgiving dinner. Since her family was all back in South America, she would always invite a bunch of people who were in the same boat. Not homeless, but bereft of family for whatever reason. It was a blast. We ate and drank like lords, and somebody handed me a guitar, and somebody sat down at the piano, and it morphed from a sedate dinner to a raucous party that raged until the wee small hours. She lived in a Don Draper-esque Manhattan penthouse, and I recall grabbing somebody by the belt who was puking over the balcony, and from the inside, someone yelling, "Let him fall over the fucking side!" It was that kind of party. And what of the Macy's Parade, Savannah, and Matt? How has he survived all these years? Is he not the most annoying person on TV? And the formerly obese Al Roker, who thanks to a stomach staple now resembles a talking prune wearing an overcoat and fedora. The parade has, for some years now, become a 3-hour commercial for Broadway shows and kiddie pop stars.
And now here's the cast of Kinky Boots, and now here's the cast of Hamilton, and now here's the cast of A Bronx Tale.
Oh yeah, isn't that exactly what interests every 6-year-old in another Broadway musical based on an adult theme? How much longer will it be called the Macy's Thanksgiving Parade? Macy's, like all bricks and mortar retailers, continues to lose value. Maybe next year it will be the Amazon Thanksgiving Parade. There'll be one multi-block long balloon of Jeff Bezos' shaved head and nothing else. So during dinner, you have to watch your P's and Q's. No politics, no religion talk. You must tell your host that everything you're eating is fantastic, even though the deviled eggs could gag a maggot. Who the fuck invented deviled eggs? And why must we make a dairy dish satanic? What is a deviled egg? Let's take the world's most perfect self-contained food and fuck it sideways with shit like mustard and vinegar and how about a loogie, whoop, huh, from your angry cousin. Leave the eggs alone, people. They don't need a goddamn thing. Where'd this devil stuff come from anyway? I'll tell you. From people too cheap or too poor to serve ham in its natural state so they cut it with crap to make 10 pounds of food out of 3 pounds of meat. How repulsive is deviled ham? Take a nice slab of meat and pound all kinds of filth into it until it looks and tastes like cat food and call it deviled. And then the so-called trimmings. That's where the hacks and amateurs have to get creative and people wind up headfirst in the toilet or maybe doubled over on a freeway shoulder upchucking those trimmings on the ride home. Just leave the green beans as green beans. They don't need any onions on them, okay? Nor do the mashed potatoes. Here's a special recipe for Brussels sprouts. Shove them up your ass. Nobody wants them. Nobody likes them. It doesn't matter what you do to them. If you marinate and spice dog shit, are you going to eat it? No. Okay. Same for Brussels sprouts. And then once you've made the small talk and asked about the kid with the second head growing out of his collarbone and told Aunt Matilda you think her Leandro collection is the shit, now what? In my experience, the television is usually switched on, which is pathetic, because if everybody is watching something they could have watched in their own home, and the point of Thanksgiving is to reconnect with friends and relatives you don't see very often, why the fuck are we all sitting there watching football games? Now, nobody listening to this has to like spaghetti westerns. And I don't have to like football, and I goddamn don't. I would if they lost all the padding and helmets and protective gear and gave every man on that field a knife or a club or a mace or a blackjack and cut the 10,000 rules down to one rule. Everybody plays until everybody dies. Now I'm interested. Take a knee. Take a knife to the aorta. That could get me interested. But until then, I'll just have to dream. But after all that caloric ingestion takes place, the real energy burn-off happens in secrecy. What is that, you ask? Fart suppression. Nobody wants to drop a deuce at a relative's house, right? It's not like The Office or someplace where you can have not just privacy, but anonymity. Of course, there's a bathroom door, and that does provide privacy, but that's not the same as anonymity. So watch Uncle Ernie and Aunt Gladys shift from cheek to cheek as they try to deal with the expanding gases in their intestines. Just be sure to watch from across the room. I recall one Thanksgiving dinner somewhere that some poor bastard had to ask for a plunger because he had clogged the crapper. How mortifying. But at least he didn't leave that chore for the next guy. Another memorable one was when we headed up to the Catskill Mountains and a hell of a blizzard blew up from nowhere. It was instant whiteout conditions. And there was a place on the road where everything just stopped. Soon, it was dark, and there was maybe 3 or 4 lanes on each side, and it went straight down like a roller coaster, and then up the other side. And on our side, the northbound side, was a solid line of cars stopped dead. We were pretty near the crest of the mountain looking downward. And on the other side, vehicles still moved, though not by driver volition. It was a layer of snow over ice, and cars would slide down that road completely out of control until they slammed into an ever-growing pileup at the base. Car after truck after car, with that sickening metallic crunch. It was difficult to watch. Oh, my bullshitting. It was fascinating to watch. After a while, that stopped too, because there was simply nowhere for any more movement or crashes. And we just sat there for hours and hours. It gets cold damn fast sitting in a metal box. So every few minutes the old man would turn over that 350 mil in the Impala and blast the heater until the chill was off. Luckily, he rarely let the tank go below half full because there were plenty of other cars around us who didn't and were soon empty. They were knocking on windows, asking other people to let them in to warm up. And to my dismay, none of them were pointy chicks. It was a fairly scary situation. There were no cell phones yet, and we didn't have a CB. That road must have been jammed for miles in each direction because absolutely no emergency vehicles made it through. None. After a few hours, everybody had to pee. And you could hear and see car doors opening and guys zipping down and trying to be discreet. And that's when some asshole in a Peterbilt behind us at the very top of the hill popped on his high beams and laid into his air horn. So you had several dozen guys spotlighted in the snow, all taking a steaming whiz. It was bizarre and funny. Eventually, a few massive wreckers made it through and began to untangle the knots of twisted automobiles in the gully. It was surreal. We rolled into my uncle's place well after midnight. He was pretty worried about us. By then, there was a good 3 feet of snow, and my dad was having trouble getting the Chevy up the hill on which my uncle's house sat. There were no chains on the tires. Uncle John came out of the house and slogged through the snowdrifts to our car and asked my father if he could give it a shot. Dad said sure, and Uncle John slid behind the wheel. Suddenly, it was as if that car sprouted tractor treads. He had it up that hill almost like it was on dry asphalt. I still have no idea how he did it. There really is a trick to severe winter driving, and he had it. And he never owned a four-wheel drive anything, just big-ass Fords and Mercuries. And he always managed to get where he needed to go, no matter how deep the snow. When we got inside his house, it was insanely cozy. A big roaring fire and turkey with everything. They had waited for us. How's that for accommodating? My aunt had hot chocolate for the kids, and Uncle John had a bottle of butterscotch booze, and he was dosing the adults cocoa with that. Of course, I wanted a taste, and of course, my old man said, sure, have a slug. It tasted good, damn good. I was probably 11 or 12. I didn't die, and I didn't become an alcoholic, and nobody looked twice or called Child Protective Services. And so we all sat down and had Thanksgiving dinner at probably 1 a.m., just as if it was 3 in the afternoon, with a howling blizzard outside like Siberia, which, believe me, upstate New York can mimic quite accurately. And everybody talked about everything, including politics. And there were no arguments because everyone was on the same page, which was, all commies are filth and should be crushed like the cockroaches they are. And that's what family used to be like. Close, tribal, of the same blood, same values, same everything. What happened to that? Does it still exist? I don't know. I was really lucky I got to experience that. It seems those kinds of families are not easy to find anymore. I'm not sure why. And those who've never experienced it are missing so much. And for them, I have great sympathy. I really do. I see so much conflict and unhappiness everywhere because of fucked up families. I see it on social media. I get emails from listeners, some as young as their late teens, and their blended or fractured or shattered families are truly a living hell. And I feel for them. Those who are older and on their own have a chance to create their own families and do it their way. They're lucky because they're no longer captives. And so for those of you who are in that position, I do have some thoughts for you. And it comes from the most unlikely of sources. Charles Manson. Why Charlie? Well, he just croaked. And I'll be doing a show on his legacy. I was doing a little research, and there's a fascinating video clip of Charlie, and somebody asks him how he deals with life in prison. And Charlie answers, and I paraphrase, "Hey man, prison is in the mind. I'm not even here. I'm still out there in the desert." I suppose Charlie was talking about creative visualization, not a concept he pioneered. It's simply focusing the mind so completely on some image or place or idea that you basically check out of your immediate surroundings and reside within. In its most extreme forms, creative visualization is called astral projection or bilocation, where one's spirit actually vacates the body and voyages to another place or another plane of existence. Is this real or is this bullshit? I've no idea. But I do know that these techniques, whatever they may be called, are enormously beneficial coping mechanisms for people in extremely stressful situations, and have been utilized by guys undergoing torture or doing hard time. So whether this Thanksgiving is a perfect recreation of that warm and fuzzy early American feast, or you are tethered between Matt Lauer and Al Roker and forced to watch an endless loop of Kinky Boots, you are now equipped to deal with either scenario. Now, what's my dream Thanksgiving? I've experienced much on the Thanksgiving spectrum, and what good is life without variety? So this year, I'd like to give the warm and fuzzy family thing a rest and join some sick party in progress with lascivious pointy chicks and pounding music and rocket fuel libations, and it doesn't matter whether they're serving turkey or jerky, just as long as the rave is loud and uncontrolled and there's a SWAT team on standby outside the front door. There's an old Eddie Murphy movie, Trading Places. It's on Netflix right now. Go to my homepage, thatlarryshow.com, and you'll find a link to a video of a party scene from that movie that's kinda sorta what I have in mind, if it were cubed. Pointy, pointy, pointy. A couple of quick housekeeping notes. If you've not subscribed by mail, please do just visit thatlarryshow.com and click the subscribe by email button. It's free, and that way you'll never miss an episode. This show has grown to a point where the correspondence, whether email or social media, is so heavy that if I do not reply, please don't think I'm ignoring you. I just need to clone myself. Thank you, beautiful Patreonies. You keep the dojo lights on. And if you've yet to join the Patreon dojo, what are you waiting for? It's the most exclusive club for dudes and dudettes who know what time it is. All kinds of goodies are there, from bonus episodes to sign books to custom recordings. And most importantly, at all belt and pledge levels, you get access to our ever-deepening bench of wise senseis who are there to help you kick life's ass. So pop over to patreon.com/thatlarryshow and join today. Got something on your mind? Lay it on me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com or voicemail us at 302-71-LARRY. And so, my friends, as we snap on our buckle shoes and hunt turkeys with our blunderbusses in preparation for yet another Thanksgiving, remember this. Whether you're headed for the warm and fuzzy bosom of the family experience we'd all like to have, or sitting down solo to a turkey pot pie you just pulled out of the microwave, it matters not. Just close your eyes and think of the TNS Dojo. Here, there's a crackling fire, adult beverages, and full bellies. We're all friends here, real friends, and there's never a hint of discord or scarcity, and we're open 24/7. So sit back, put your feet up, and relax. It really is all good. Have a great Thanksgiving. I'll see you next Tuesday, maybe sooner, if I finish that bonus episode on time. And until then, take no shit.